For many will come claiming to be the Messiah and will lead many astray. Talking about. You think he's talking about the world? They ain't being led nowhere, honey. You can't lead the world astray. See, you have to have a spiritual understanding to know that. You can't lead the world astray. They're already lost. Who's being led astray are sheep of his pasture who are following false prophets. Being led away from the truth. Turning away from the truth and giving heed onto fables. You know what a fable is? A nice story. Tell me something nice. Oh, we're building a new university with a hospital. And we're going to have the Total Living Center. And we're going to have a nice college. What are we building on? We're supposed to be building on the kingdom of heaven. How come these preachers don't ever read the verse where it says, lay not up for yourself treasures on earth? How come they never read that? Jesus said, don't let anyone fool you. Look with the doctors, how we listen to them doctors. One of the most devastating things that happens to us. This is what happens to young Christians like her. She picks up the phone. Some old saint will call over here. She'll answer the phone. And she'll hear him say, I just got out of the hospital. Will you please have brothers there pray? And her young Christian mind will say, what in the world are them saints doing in the hospital? What is it with you Christians that you keep going to the doctor? How are we ever going to prove that God is God unless we take a stand somewhere down the line? I don't mind telling you, folks, that confused me a lot of times. Jesus said, don't let nobody fool you. He said, when you hear of wars beginning, this does not sing of my return. They must come, but the end is not yet. And I'm here to tell you something. That verse of Scripture is over and done with, finished and fulfilled. Don't you hobnob on that part, but the end is not yet, because that Scripture is fulfilled. Don't sit there and say, you see, he said the end is not yet. Yes, he said if when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled, for the end is not yet. But honey, we aren't coming into the age of hearing of wars and rumors of wars. The rumor we're hearing of is the war of all wars, not just wars and rumors of wars. But the rumor we're hearing now is the end of all wars. So don't you think that Scripture is going to be fulfilled? It has been fulfilled. In your lifetime, that's all you heard. Wars and rumors of wars. It's done, finished, and over with. There are no more rumors of war. There is nothing but the talk of peace. Come on. Come on, people. They are afraid of the war of all wars. I'm trying to tell you, don't you take no refuge in the statement that says the end is not yet. Because that is done. That verse has been fulfilled. You don't look forward to it. You look back at it. It has been fulfilled. The end is not yet, he said, because of this, but that has taken place. So therefore we have moved from that into the end. Into the end. Nations and kingdoms will rise against each other. Famine, there's where we're coming now. Famines, earthquakes in many places. All of this will only be the beginning. Now we're just coming into the beginning of horrors. Horrors, trouble. Just now, just the beginning. You know, my God, listen to the people complain now how tough it is now, and it's only the beginning. Now this next verse, these other preachers will never read. If they do, honey, they turn it real quick.
then you will be tortured. Oh, but I thought we were going to be caught away. I didn't know we was going to have to suffer anything. I thought we was going to be walking down the street and the Lord was going to go, yup. Killed. Isn't that nice gospel? And hate it all over the world because you are mine. Still want to serve Jesus? Still love him? Hey! Tortured? Hated? Maybe killed? You still want to serve him? Well, I'll tell you what. He's going to find out. You ever played chicken when you was a kid? You know Moses was the first one that played chicken. Did you know that? Moses was the first one that ever played chicken. Yeah. He had gone down into Egypt. He really didn't want to do it, but he went down into Egypt and he brought the children of Israel out of a bondage. And he got them out in the wilderness and he didn't know what to do with them. Here he had 3 million people out there and he didn't know what to do with them. They couldn't go back to Egypt. So he said, all right, you folk, you stay right here and I'm going up here to talk to God. So he goes up on top of the mountain and says, hey God, I got all the folk down there. What am I going to do with them? God said, the first thing we got to do is straighten them up. And God, he said, how am I going to do that, God? He said, I'm going to give you 10 little laws, and I want you to tell them to keep them. So he wrote the 10 commandments. Huh? And he come down over the hill, carrying the old 10 commandments on his shoulder, and the closer he got to where the children of Israel were, there he heard a lot of dancing, a lot of shouts. They were really having church. Huh? Yes, they were. They were shouting and dancing. And Moses, at first, Moses thought to himself, he said, boy, they are really grateful for God bringing them out of Egypt. They're down there just praising the Lord. And all of a sudden he said, but it don't sound right. Wrong kind of singing. Don't sound right. Something wrong with that. And he got down there, and there he found them people had taken off their earrings and their bracelets and their golden trinkets and melted them down and made a calf, a golden calf, a golden calf. Not even one that could give milk. They would have been better off taking a live cow. They'd at least got more out of it than a golden calf. And they had put it up on a pedestal, and they were dancing around and saying, this is the God that delivered us out of Egypt. Holy, holy, holy. Moses took those tables of stone and threw them on the ground. God, angry boy, came running down that crowd and hollered, what are you doing? He was a screamer too. Screamer. He come flying there. What are you doing? You people crazy. Dancing around that golden calf and calling it your God.
Well, Moses, you left town. We didn't know what happened to you, Moses.
Well, you should have stayed where I left you.
And then he drew a line. He drew a line. He said, now everybody's on the Lord's side. You want to mess with the cow, you stay with the cow. But everybody's on the Lord's side, you get across this line. And if you come across this line, no more messing with the cow. Huh? So you see, God's still playing chicken, honey. Ain't no room. He told Gideon, he said, Gideon, you got too many. Got too many. Said, you got some folk out there, you got 10,000 people out there going to let you down in the crutch. They're afraid. You better get rid of them. And all Gideon had to do was say, hey, all these fellas that's afraid, go home. That's all he had to do. That's all he had to do. He stepped out there, he had 33,000 people. Come on. And all he had to do was say, everybody that's afraid, you can go home. They said, goodbye, Gideon. I'm glad you said that.
20-some thousand, boy, left just like that. Huh? You see, the truth of the matter is, if you're afraid, don't be a Christian. Because you're going to have to stand. As we go have to do, Leona. Next time the doctor talk operation, in fact, the best thing is just don't go back to the doctor. That's the best thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And the way to do that is quit paying your insurance policy. So the insurance policy runs out, then you have no... Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what some of you people ought to do. You ought to burn the bridges behind you. Huh? You ought to go to the welfare department and say, look, this ain't God. We play chicken. And then you remember what Gideon had to do. The second thing he had to do. Huh? The second thing he had to do was take them down to the water. If you think that God isn't going to test his people, you're going to find out, my friends, that in this hour in which we live, we are literally going to face an Antichrist. That means we are literally going to face the world system that is vowed to destroy Christians. We are literally going to face that system. I mean, all of our talking in church is going to mean nothing. I read it for you. I just got, huh? Then will you be tortured? Oh, he ain't talking about us. He's not talking about us. God bless America. He ain't talking about us, is he? He wouldn't take little old Patty and allow her to be tortured. Of course, now the devil, he wouldn't mind taking her out there and put her on drugs and getting her drunk. He wouldn't mind that, dragging her down the street. But now God, he can't put us through nothing. I'm sorry, people. I'm sorry. Somebody said, Brother Stair, you keep destroying my hope. Don't mean to. Don't mean to. He said, and many of you shall fall back into sin and betray and hate each other. False prophets will appear and lead many astray. Sin will be rampant everywhere. And it will cool the love of many. But those that endure to the end shall be saved. Hmm? Oh, won't you lift up your hands and say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Help me to make a commitment. Help me to be settled in my mind. Settled in my mind, Lord. My mind made up. You know, black folk used to talk like that years ago. Black folk used to say, standing. No, just a nod of the head is not good enough. Is it worth, Brother Bash, to keep on preaching the gospel if you know that in the end that they're going to bash your head in? We're going to have to evaluate this. Was it worth giving up an opera career or a singing career to walk alongside of the bald-headed prophet? You could have been over there with the glamorous. You know. Is it worth giving up your own personal ambitions to be subjected to indignities? Huh? You know, if you'd have asked me that question when I first started out preaching, if you'd have told me what I was going to have to go through to be this kind of a preacher, I'd have backed out when I was a kid. That's right. I'd have backed out when I was a kid. Because when you start thinking of what it costs you to be what God wants you to be, it is sometimes more than most people can pay. The only difference between me and most people is that I have gone so far. I'm like Peter, see? Peter, he saw Jesus out there preaching, and boy, he got all carried away with him. He stole his boat, got rid of his net, said, I'm going to follow him. Where are you going, Lord? Huh? Jesus said, birds have the nest. Foxes have holes. Son of man hath nowhere to lay his head. That's all right. I'm going with you. Huh? All of a sudden, he saw Jesus hanging on the cross. Come on, folks. All of a sudden, he said, Lord God, have mercy. They're going to kill me too if they get a chance. And they did. They, when they got the chance, they killed him. Hmm? Jesus asked him the question one time. Said, you going to leave me, Peter? That's been asked of every Christian living today. Are you going to leave the Lord? Come on, everyone has been asked that question in your own heart. I'll quit. I'll go back. The devil tells her to go back home, but she couldn't hardly go home when she wasn't saved. How's she going to go home now? You've got to get to the place where there is no going back. Where there is no going back. And you see, because the devil is going to try to get you to go back. So what you got to do is be smart enough to go so far with God and burn every bridge that even though when the devil says go back, you can't. Even then, you can't. Do you see what I'm saying to you? You've got to commit yourself so desperately because we know what he's going to do. Your faith is going to be tested and tried like you have never thought it would ever be. But what you're going to have to do is burn every bridge behind you, cut every tie to the world you're tied to, that even though you may want to go back, you won't be able to. Oh, that's what you're going to have to do. Yeah, you take preaching away from me, and you might as well just, what am I going to do, become a mechanic? You stop me from preaching, and what am I going to become, an artist? You see what I'm saying to you? It's so much of my life. It's me. And that's the way your Christian life ought to be. It ought to be so committed to God that if your family don't go, if your children don't go, if your husband don't go, if your kinfolk don't go, there ain't no other way to go but to go on with God anyhow. Now, I'm asking you the question. We have to evaluate it. Is it going to be worth it? How do you evaluate whether it's worth all the suffering and all the disappointments? And really, there is no disappointments in Jesus. The disappointments you've had has been with yourself, with your circumstances, with the conditions that you yourself got yourself into. The Lord never fails you. Hey, how many times could God have cut you off justly if he wanted to? How many times have... I remember the other day sitting in my room and I keep saying to myself, Ralph, don't say that. The whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I never did take time to find out what that word wiles means. I'm going to study that word a little bit more. I got to find out what that means. That's a good one for you. The wiles of the devil. I would say that the devices, the deceitfulness, the smoothness of them. Oh, he's smooth. Oh, he's the smoothest thing going. That devil is so slick. He can make you say, thank God for my sickness. I've had him do that. I've seen people get happy. I was over in Philadelphia. A lady came in on a pair of crutches one day. And I said, lady, would you like to get rid of them crutches? She said, I thank God for them crutches. I said, you what? She said, I thank God for them crutches. I couldn't walk without them. Thank God for the crutches. Mm-hmm. I said, well, Lord, give her a cane too. Praise the Lord. It is worth it to suffer for Christ. How are we going? What do we have to compare? What do we have to compare that can show us that it's going to be worth it? There must be something. You can't just do it on nothing. Now, I'm going to tell you what you can use to evaluate. And if you've never had this, you're in a bad shape. Do you remember when God first saved you? Do you remember that? I want to make you remember that. Let me just preach to you as preacher today, okay? Remember the night when you went struggling all the way down to Quincy and ended up in the wrong church? Screwed up, messed, huh? I heard you tell it many times. You ended up in a Baptist church looking for a holiness church. And the Baptist preacher preached a better sermon than the holiness preacher did. But you didn't get saved in the Baptist church because they didn't have the kind of altar service you wanted. So you got preached under conviction in the Baptist church, ended up in the Assembly of God church, and went to a mourner's bench and got saved. And you weren't caring whether it was Baptist or Assembly of God or what the preacher's name was. You just said, Lord, remember that night? When my Savior reached down for me. Remember that? Or did y'all forget when the Lord reached down and saved you? So, do you remember? We used to sing a song years ago. I remember the time. I can take you to the place. You know, there's a lot of Christians who call themselves Christians today who cannot tell you when they were born again. Do you know that? They just assumed they were Christians. Every one of us can almost tell us the day we was born. Some of us can tell the exact hour we were born. Some can tell the minute. Come on. There are people who can tell you the minute they were born. Their mama had it all on record. Well, I got news for you, honey. If you've been born again, it's on record. Yeah. Did you hear me? If you've been born again, it's on record. And you ought to be able to check the record. You ought to be able to get a witness once in a while. You ought to be able to point back, and that's what you got. And don't you ever forget it. You may not feel saved today. You may not feel saved tomorrow, but for God's sake, point back to that mourner's bench on New Year's Eve or whatever it was, and tell the devil, I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Hallelujah! I can remember. I forget a lot. You know how I think about writing my life story? Because I got a lot of things in my life that are fantastic. But I got to think of all the different things. Being put in jail several times. Being stoned and being mocked and being beat up and being fought at. Many different instances in my life. But you know, there's one thing I have never forgot. I remember the night when God saved me. I remember where it was. I was not even in a church. I had gone to a ballroom at Union Boulevard in Allentown, Pennsylvania, to hear a woman preach and pray for the sick. And when I had been raised in a Christian church, it was nothing new to me. I was 16 years of age, and I went there to see the girls. I knew there was going to be a lot of sweet things over there. And that lady started praying for the sick, and she got closer and closer to me, and I said, she ain't going to get me. I ain't ready yet. And I jumped up, and I ran out, and I got my 1937 Chevrolet. And I, some old young kid boy, you know, I was going to take off. Down the road I started. Oh, honey, you ain't doing nothing that I didn't do. I done run so many times. Hey, but I found out the father that you run, he's already there waiting on you when you're coming. Here you wait. Amen. Hallelujah. And I was going down the highway, Union Boulevard, in my 1937 Chevrolet, and like a thunder from heaven, God said, you are going to give me your heart tonight, or you will never give it to me. I got a job for you to do, and I can't wait on you to make up your mind. You do it now or never. And right there in my car, I said, yes, sir, Lord. Here I am. Hallelujah. And I started to go to church the next night, and for 10 straight years, I was in church every night. Come on, people. Didn't miss a lick. Hallelujah. I started tarrying for the Holy Ghost and waiting on God and praying and fasting. Oh, yes, I did. Hey, made a lot of bad moves because of the youthfulness and the determination of youth. Oh, I'm so glad, hallelujah, that through it all, I was able to point to that night when he put my name in the Lamb Book of Life. Somebody said, how do you know you're saved? I'm saved not because of the life that I've lived, but I'm saved because of that night when he washed me in the blood and put my name in the Book of Life. Can't you understand that? And no matter what the devil has brought against me since then, he has never been able to remove my name from the book. Hallelujah! 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 You don't know that? A lot of Christians today can't talk about that. There's an experience you can't explain how it happens. You don't really know what takes place. All you know that I remember when my burden rolled away. I had carried it for years, night and day. Then I sought the blessed Lord, and I took him at his word. And at once all my burden rolled away. Turn around and look at the person next to you and say, do you remember when you were born again? Go on, look at that person. Do you remember that? Do you know it? Hallelujah. You're going to find out that being a Christian ain't just signing a church card or shaking a preacher's hand. You just don't assume you're a Christian. It's an experience. It's an experience, a born-again experience. Amen. Jesus said to Nicodemus, it's like the wind. You don't know where it blows from, and you don't know where it blew to, but you knew when it went past. Amen. Hallelujah. I can't explain. I can't explain. I can take you to the place. I can't tell you the time. I can't tell you how. But I know he did it. Amen. And I know today he done it. Do you know it? Somebody said, well, I know when I joined the church. I remember when I got baptized. The Lord impressed me on that. I got to get me a baptismal tank. I'm going to baptize you. I don't care how many times y'all been baptized. We're all going under again. Y'all come to my camp meeting. We're all going under. Don't try to get away from me. I'm going to throw a blanket around you and put you under. I'm going to be. What do you think? Could you ask Lucille back there with a little baby Shante? That's a constant problem. Day and night, they got her if it was worth all of that. And she'll tell you it was like a mama having a newborn baby. laboring and crying. I wish this thing was over. And all of a sudden the baby's born and mama forgets all about the pain. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, but you see, people don't tell us that the Bible talks about Zion travailing. I'm trying to impress you today with one little simple truth. And that's why I keep coming back here on this subject today. How are we going to evaluate whether it is worth it to endure to the end? I mean, if we're going to end up at the end with nothing, then I ain't going to stick this thing out. I don't care what you say, Brother Vance. You hear me? If when I get to the end of this road and there ain't nothing there, then it ain't worth it. Uh-uh. And I'm going to tell you something else. If what I am getting out of being a Christian now is all I'm going to get, it ain't worth it. It is not worth it. Because I ain't getting very much. I got burdens and heartaches and problems and battles and loneliness and disappointment, misunderstanding and frustration. Of course, you ain't having all those problems, do you? I'm going to tell you right now, if what I'm going to get out of being a Christian, what I got now, it ain't worth it. You don't like that kind of talk, do you? Well, the Apostle Paul, in this life, have hope only. We are of all men most miserable. Those are his words. You know what he means? Do you understand what he means? He simply says, if the only thing you get out of being a Christian is what you get in this life, you are a miserable wretch. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. He said, if, you know what the word it means? He said, if we in this life have hope only, if there's nothing more to being a Christian than what you have got out of it in this life, you have missed it. It ain't worth it. It isn't worth it. It isn't worth it. It isn't worth it. It isn't worth it. Come on, folks. Be like the rich man. Eat, drink, and be merry. Come on. If there ain't nothing at the end of this road, if there's no prize at the end of this race, if there's no victory at the end of this war, then it's not worth it. It's not worth it. But somebody better impress you, honey, that there is a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Hallelujah. It will be worth it all. In sight of the end of this thing, you will not want to run the race. Somebody says, oh, I'm having a good time being a Christian. Well, I ain't never had a good time being a Christian. From the very first day I was saved, honey, I was in a battle. Wasn't long, my church kicked me out. Then my parents turned me down. Then I got fired from a job. I'm telling you the God's truth, people. I told you this last night what happened when Jesus was born. I told you this morning again. Jesus, the angels came and cried, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. And the very moment he was born, there wasn't peace. The very moment he was born, 2,000 babies died because he was born. 2,000 babies died because Jesus was born. 2,000 babies running over. One fellow says, like honey in the rock. Huh? Amen. Like molasses on a dewdrop. Come on, folks. Amen. I've often told you that this old time religion is like the little boy who fell in a barrel of molasses. Now, nobody wants to fall in a barrel of molasses every day. You wouldn't want to fall in a barrel of molasses every day, would you? Would you want to fall in a barrel of molasses every day? You know what molasses is, don't you? Who would want to fall in a barrel of molasses? You'd have a hard time, brother, with your hair. You'd never get out of your hair. This is good. I always like that story. Come on, folks. Amen. Hallelujah. Find yourself under pressure. Just raise up your head and say, he's good. He slipped on into glory and he said, hey, you saints down there in the world, hide in the caves and run to the mountains and fight the devil and don't give in. The world is occupied by the devil and his forces, but I will come again. Hallelujah. Fight the devil. Hold on. Stand tall and stand firm.
on. And honey, you better get this through your head one of these days. An angelic host is going to make an onslaught against the powers of hell. And the church of Jesus Christ is going to rise up on the strength of God's glory. And an angel is going to blow a trumpet. And a sound is going to come from heaven saying, I told you 2,000 years ago that I was going to come again. And I am come. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord heaven. Hey, fellas, I've been talking about you my whole life. It sure is good to meet you. Where are you going? Same place you're going, Stan. We're going to meet the King. Amen. We're going to meet the King. He's on his way. The trumpet sound. Oh, praise the Lord. Now, somebody going to say to me, somebody going to say, oh, brother, that's all a dream. That's right, honey. That's right. Young men shall see dream visions. Old men shall dream dreams. And this fellow's getting old enough to dream some dreams. I was young enough to have my visions. Now I'm getting old enough to have my dreams. Hallelujah. 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 Can't do that with your heart. Praise the Lord. He's coming again, folks. He's coming again. Brother Babb, what a privilege you have. I promised you 6 months ago that I was going to settle some things for you. You do remember, don't you? I told you I was going to find out whether God was God. All right. Are you ready, Saint? I still ask you this afternoon, in spite of all this preaching, have I dampened your enthusiasm? Do I turn you off? Do I get you worried? Are you, come on, people, it's got press on. Press on. We're going to see our King one of these days. Sister Green, Lord have mercy. Lord God, all the burdens you have borne, old Bonnie. When he comes down and takes his big old handkerchiefs and wipes all them tears from your eyes. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Somebody say amen. What a day it's going to be. I want to, the black folk, the Lord reminded me, in spite of all of the things we're talking about, in spite of all of the tough times that's coming, in spite of all the famine and all difficulty, he took me to a scripture verse, and the verse said, behold! It means take note! Behold, he said. I read it 2 or 3 times. Behold! Huh? I said, behold what, Lord? He said, behold! I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy! And nothing shall my enemies hurt you. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Woo. Behold, take note. Check this out. Yes, sir. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Everybody say, behold, look over here. I have the power. We're all, you know what he's trying to say there? Where the head is, where the King is, where the Spirit of God is. That is where the carcass is going to be. That's where the church is going to be gathered. The church is going to be gathered. From all, the Bible said they're going to come from the north, the south, the east, and the West, and they're going to sit down in the kingdom of our God. Is it possible? Listen to this closely now, because it's a brand new truth. I'm getting it right now. I'm getting it right now. You want some more food for thought? Here's one for you. Is it possible that the rapture is not going to take place in the air, but actually gathering together down here? Food for thought, huh? Amen. The word rapture means gathering together. That's all it means. Just gathering together. It has no implication in the original Greek of being caught up. It just means gathering together. Oh, amazing, isn't it? Somebody said, well, aren't we going to be caught up? Yeah, when Jesus comes. But, brother, sister, he's going to gather us first. Read the book of Ezekiel where he gathered the church together first. The bones came together first. Come on, folks. He didn't try to scatter bones. He gathered the bones together first, then he raised it up. Come on, folks. No, I ain't going to do that, Mother Parter. I'm going to tell it like it ought to be. You know that, everybody. You keep kidding me. Everybody lift up your hand and say, Lord, help me. Jesus Christ is coming in this generation. This is the last generation. This one. Somebody say, when's it going to end? It's going to end somewhere between 1980 and 2000. I'll get you that close. Maybe as we progress and the Lord gives me a little more insight, I'll get you closer. Somebody said, no man knows the day nor the hour. I get so tired of people quoting that scripture and not quoting it fully. Jesus said, no man knows the day nor the hour, not even the angels. But he did make one more statement. He said, but the Father in heaven, he does know. So he's implying that the Father knows the day and the hour. He's implying that the day and the hour is already set. It's already known. Do you hear that? See, Jesus told us 2,000 years ago that the Father already knew the day and the hour. And the Bible said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither hath it entered. I'm quoting now. I am quoting the Bible. Do you hear me? Do you have ears enough to hear me? I am quoting, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, we haven't seen that place. Our ears haven't heard of all the splendor that's going to be there. Our hearts are not able to perceive what it's going to be like. Men cannot understand it. Oh, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life trials will seem so small when we see him. Oh, I want to see him face to face. Somebody say amen. Now listen to me close. Listen to me closely. Listen to me. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Now, did you hear that? Now listen, but unto us has the Spirit revealed it. Come on. Amen. You better get this through your little hearts, honey, that Jesus Christ is not sneaking up on me like a thief in the night. Oh, no, he ain't. Baby. The Bible said the bride has made herself ready. We're going to hear the cry, behold, the bridegroom's coming. And we're going to fast and be praying and waiting and looking and expecting. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. We are not going to be caught napping. We're not going to be caught planning a vacation to the Caribbean. We're not going to be caught tied up with a business or financial engagement, honey. We're going to have we're going to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And we're going to run with patience a race that's set before us, forgetting those things that are behind and pressing toward the pride of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Did you think, honey, I'm going to have to be sitting somewhere listening for the tiptoeing of Jesus so he don't sneak up on me? You're wrong, honey. I got my eyes stared up, and I'm trying to lift them up more. I have had my eyes too much on the world. I've had my eyes too much on preachers. I've had my eyes too much on stare. And the Bible said, look up. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm working every day on it. I'm working every day until old Scare is dead. Until I can say with a surety, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Somebody said, Brother Scare, do you hear yourself preaching? Well, I'll tell you the truth tonight. If I ain't doing you no good, I'm sure going to try to do myself some. Maybe you're already there, but I'm not there. I keep asking myself the question, what did Paul have that I don't have? What did Paul have spent the last 2 years of his life in jail? And then when it came time, they tried to kill Paul several times. They couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. His time wasn't ready. And finally the day came, he said, I'm ready now. Hey, said jailer, you can do it today. They must have got to the place where they walk in every morning and say, Paul, you ready today? See, he had a sentence of death on him. He had been sentenced to die 2 years. But he said, I ain't ready, fella. I ain't ready. And he spent the last 2 years in jail writing to the church, encouraging Timothy. Come on. Yes, he did. And I could almost see one morning those jailers had been so used to walking by. One morning they probably heard Paul banging on the bar. Dring, dring, dring. Hey, fella. Yeah, Paul, what is it? Hey, I'm ready. Ready for what? I am now ready to be offered. What did that guy have? What in the world did that fella have? To say, come on, fellas, cut my head off. I'm ready now. Chop it off. What did he have? What kind of faith did that man have? What kind of faith did that man have? That he said, I am now ready to be offered. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. What did he have? What kind of faith did that man have? Shipwreck, beatings, scourgings, hunger, fastings, pearls, robbery, lied on. Yet he cried, none of these things move me, for I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come shall ever separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. For I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I want to get there, folks. I want to get there. Do you hear me? I want to get there. Where the phraseology is not just words. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. What in the world did Peter have? History tells us that they stuck Peter in an inner dungeon, 15 feet below the ground in a Rome catacomb, where the human stench of human secretion was 3 to 4 feet or 4 inches deep, where people had died in 15 minutes from the poisonous gases that had come up out of that place, where they would put prisoners down there and they would kill them in just a few moments' time. They took Peter and they tied him with his hands and stuck him down in that dungeon. And he lived there like that for 9 months. He wouldn't die. And he ended up converting 70-some jailers. The jailers who were waiting for him to die. He wouldn't die. He wouldn't die. He wouldn't die. And finally they brought him up out of there. And they said, all right, since we can't kill you down there, we're going to crucify you. He said, fine by me, but don't you dare hang me with my head up. You hang me with my head down. And church history tells us that they refused. They said, we'll hang you on the cross any way we want to. You're the prisoner, and we're the executioner. And the history tells us he taunted them. He taunted them. He said, what's the matter, you chicken? What's the matter? You afraid to do it? He taunted them until he made them angry enough to hang him on a cross with his head down because he did not consider himself worthy to be crucified like his Lord. What kind of Christianity did they have? What in the world did Peter have or Stephen have? What did he have? What kind of grace did he experience that he could stand there in the presence of his executioners with blood dripping from his brow and bones being broken and crushed and stand there with his face shining like the face of an angel and cry out, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. What kind of grace did he receive? You believe me today? There is a grace that you can have that's sufficient for living and sufficient for dying. There is a grace that you can receive tonight that is sufficient to bless you and sufficient to keep you when you're not blessed. Hallelujah. I wish somebody praise his name with me tonight. I wish somebody raise your hand and say, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Where's my piano player? Hallelujah. Raise your hand and say, I love you, Jesus. Come on, say, God, I want to be ready.
God, I want to
be in that number.
I want to be in that.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
He is Lord. He Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Everybody bow your head, please, and close your eyes. I'm going to, as much as I need to hurry along here tonight. I need to take time to do a few things, and I wish you'd stay with me. I wish you wouldn't leave. I wish you'd give me just a little more time. It cost me a lot of money to be here. So please give me the time. You're here tonight and you're not sure. You're not there. You're not in the place that you want to be. And you don't want to have to make God to make you bow your knees. Well, there's one thing I don't want God to have to make me do. I don't want to have Him to have to make me bow. Make me humble myself. I want to do it. I want to bow. I want to call Him my Lord. If you're not sure of that tonight, if you haven't bowed your heart and bowed your head and bowed your knee, and you want to do it tonight, you want to do it publicly, we're going to sing it again. I want you out of your seat and down here right in the front and kneeling right there around that railing. Just bow your knee and give a new commitment to God. Give a new commitment to God, saying, God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to search for you. I'm going to find you. I'm going to confess my sins. And with your help, I'm going to forsake them. And I'm going through. You're not right with God tonight. Won't you come for just a moment? Just a moment. Bow your knee here at this front of this auditorium. Right here in the John Hancock Hall. An old-fashioned prayer service. Just for a moment. While we sing it, won't you come, everybody, all that's not in the position where you want to be with God, or you feel like the Spirit is saying, make the move. I believe you ought to do it. Don't put it off. Just for a moment, will you come? He is Lord. Sing it, dear. Come on, won't you come, young man, young woman, husband, wife, son and daughter. Won't you come and just bow your knee and confess He's Lord? And with the heart, man believeth. And with the mouth, confession is made. If you believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ and confess with your mouth that God has raised Him from the dead, you should be saved. Will you come? Is there somebody who wants to bow your knee to form tonight? Is there somebody who wants to bow to form tonight? Will you come quickly? That's right, just bow right there. Just bow your knee before God. Hallelujah. Would you like to do it, sir? Would you like to do it, Mother? Just for a moment, won't you do it? Sing it again, sing it again. Won't you come? Confess He's the Lord. He's my Lord. Will you come, sir? Young man, young woman, a new commitment? I want to bow, Lord. I want to bow, Jesus. I want to bow before you. He has risen from the dead. He's Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. My God, I bow my knee before you. The Apostle Paul, I cry out, I bow my knee before the great God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Oh, Spirit of God. Spirit of God, breathe upon our lives tonight as we rededicate, reconsecrate, recommit, confess, repent, whatever it takes, Lord, in our lives to make us what you want us to be. Mold us, make us, fill us, and use us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise saints. Pray just for a moment. Pour out your heart to God. Pour out your soul to the Lord. Pour out your life to Him tonight. Confess your sins. Tell God you're sorry for your backsliding. Draw me to you, Jesus. Wash me in the blood. Restore the joy of your salvation. Oh, God, have mercy on me right now. In the name of Jesus. 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 Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood
Wash it for me in that thou peace me. Come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come while the fountain lies open. The fountain lies open. You better come to Jesus and be saved. Oh, you better come to Jesus. You better come to Jesus. You better come to Jesus. And be saved.
Lift up your heads, folk. Lift them up high. Lift them up high. Come on, lift up your hands and say, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You may return to your seats if you can. Praise the Lord. I love you. Christians, may I say this much to you? That I know a lot of times you Christians go to church and you're looking for the preacher to encourage you. And I don't know of any other way I could have encouraged you anymore tonight. Somebody said, Brother Stead, why don't you pray for me? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? You're healed. The presence of the Lord is here and His presence is healing. You're healed. You're already healed. You're saved. Believe it. The Bible said, Brother Stair, that's ridiculous. Jesus said, by grace are you saved. Believe it. And then go live it. Learn righteousness and pursue it. Shun evil. Do it. For the Lord thy God has spoken now by the voice of my Spirit. Yea, for I have said with people of another tongue and stammering lips would I speak to my people. And I say unto you that thou should watch and pray always, that thou might be accounted worthy to escape all those things that are coming upon the face of the earth. Yea, my children, this is the time that you should draw nigh to me, that I might draw nigh unto thee, that I might cleanse your hands and purify your heart, you double-minded, that thou might have a singleness of mind and a singleness of purpose to search out my will, my will, my will for your life, that I might give you that abundant life, and that you might be able to stand in these last and evil days. Yea, my children, find fellowship, come together, be one. Yea, I say unto you, be united in faith and spirit and purpose. Yea, I say unto you, my people, this night, be not envious of each other, be not grievous, but be doers of righteousness, and perfect the holiness in the fear of the Lord, and follow peace with all men. For this is the day of the Lord. This is the day of the Lord. And the day of wrath and the day of judgment is soon to come. And I want to spare thee from that. So be ye ready. Be ye ready. Be ye ready, saith the Lord. Oh, help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me. Oh, God. What else can I say, Lord? What else can I do to these people tonight? That's not by might, not by power. Oh, Jesus. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Praise God. By His stripes you're healed. You are healed tonight. You are saved tonight. You are an overcomer. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're sick, if you feel a pain in your body, touch your body now and say, I command the Spirit to go from my body. Do it. Do it. Come on, do it. Tell somebody sitting next to you, say, touch me in Jesus' name. Come on, do it. My God, reach out. Pray one for another. If you're having troubles in your home, say to the Spirit, leave me alone. Go from me. Get behind me, Satan. Loose me now. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed.